Okay, take your Bibles now and turn to Proverbs chapter number 11. And I'm going to bore you to death now with a standard message here. But I need to do that because what we got coming up is a great, great opportunity. You got Brother McGahee coming in, and there's been people saved around here at his meetings. And we'll have a great opportunity for somebody to get saved. And we don't want to let this opportunity just slide right by and not get the job done. It's just a four-day meeting this time, so we're going to have to be ready to go whenever the meeting comes to town here next Monday night. And it won't be like as though you get stirred and all of a sudden think, man, I wish somebody was here. I'm going to try to stir you up a little bit along those lines tonight. So when meeting time comes along, you're raring to go. You've got a bunch of people you have witnessed to. You have invited to the meeting, and you're going to pick them up. You're going to take them out for a hamburger. You're going to get them here, and there's a good chance somebody's going to get saved. So I just want to put the issue before you now, just a Bible way of doing it. And I want to put that issue before you here in Proverbs chapter number 11. And some of y'all probably know what I'm going to be, the verse I'm going to be preaching on here tonight. Standard verse, and it's no new doctrine for sure tonight. So Proverbs chapter number 11 now, verse number 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own soul shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Now the verse, number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful now for the word of God. Lord, that you would take verse number 30 and write it upon the table of each heart here tonight. And Lord, I pray that they'd take it to heart. I pray, Lord, they wouldn't pass it off, just another service, another time Brother Martin tries to stir them up for a revival meeting. God, I pray they'd take it to heart like you want them to take it to heart. And I pray, Lord, with the result being that either shortly, next week, or perhaps shortly thereafter, there'd be some souls that get saved. Some perhaps in the church here, some outside the church. But God, I pray that this verse be received and written on the table of every heart here tonight. And we'll thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Verse number 30 is a verse that you probably have committed to memory. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, to be wise is important, and you don't go wrong along those lines. I want you, if you would, to go back to Proverbs chapter 8 and look at verse number 11. Proverbs 8, verse number 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. As very clear in chapter 11, verse 30, you win some souls, you have done the right thing and the wisest thing that you can do. Wisdom is better than rubies, and rubies are they're a precious stone. They cost some money. You're going to pay some bucks for rubies. All right, but wisdom is even better than that. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Take your Bible now, if you wouldn't, go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and I want you to look at something here. Let me get myself organized. Verse number 5, and then verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5. Again, it's simple. He that winneth souls is wise. All right, now verse number 5. Get wisdom, and he told you one way to do it. Win some souls. Definitely wise to do that. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. All right, let's see, verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. He wants you to be wise. Don't want you to be a dumbbell all your life. He wants you to wake up, be wise. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Again, you don't go wrong. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. All right, so very wise thing to do. Pick up on things from the Word of God. You just definitely don't go wrong that way. And I want you to guess that pretty much does it. Now, by comparison and by contrast, I want you to look at chapter 14, verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish. So you're going to be one or the other. When he tells you, he that winneth souls is wise, you're going to be wise. Or you're going to say, well, let somebody else do it. Let George do it. Let someone else down the line do it. And I'm not good at that. And you're going to put it off, and you're foolish to do that. You don't have to be somebody that knows it all, knows all the Bible. A little bit of a testimony will do it many times. A couple of verses, simple verse in the Word of God, better than putting a heavy load on them. You can do it. But you're going to be wise, or you're going to be foolish. You'll pass it by, and not good to do that. Every wise woman built her house, but the foolish plucked it down with her hands. So with that as a background, the importance of wisdom, and what a great blessing it is, from chapter 8 and from chapter number 4, and then the contrast of chapter number 14 and other places in the Word of God, then I would say that although this verse is a very common verse, and although you take it lightly or have been taking it lightly, I think it's time for you now to give it a good ear, take a good look at it, hide it in your heart, and give it a shot all week long. Revival comes up in just another week here, and we only got 4 days of it, so we got to get the jump on it. We got to be after it all week long. You got to be witnessing. You got to be witnessing. And that's the wise thing to do. You do that, and you put it out, and ultimately you're going to win some to the Lord. He that winneth souls is wise. One of the wisest thing you can do, you know, people think, well, it's wise to do this, and it's wise to do that, and save some money, and it's wise to do, and some of those things are all right. They're good. They are wise. However, he that winneth souls is wise. You don't want to pass by exactly what the Lord said. The Lord put her out there. Lord knows better than anybody else, and it's the right thing and the wise thing for you and I to do. Now, remember, Brother McGahee, over the years, messages have been outstanding. There was a time, several years ago, that this whole front was jammed up with chairs. That's what the place was like. Back then, of course, we had 5 7-day meetings, and people got in gear and just jammed it up. Last time he was in, the place was jammed up on a Friday night, and then he got sick, or one night he got sick and could not make it. But he said it's the only second time it ever happened to him. Hopefully it doesn't happen this time, and he can get in there and go 4 for 4 and just go after it. All right, so we're looking forward to the meeting now. We got our preparation. We got our work we got to do. There are lost souls everywhere you go. Don't you get the idea just because you come in here and most people are saved in here, it's that way on the outside. It's anything but that on the outside. And there are lost people everywhere. You're going to meet them tomorrow. You'll meet them all week long. And you do your best to try to witness them. Don's got you some wonderful flyers out there, good-looking flyers, big ones, little ones, whatever you need. They're gospel tracts, but give them a witness. Offer to pick them up. And let's see if we can't win some souls during the revival meeting comes up in a week. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, I'm going to put some reasons before you why it's a very wise thing to do. And let's be a little on the unusual side here, but you'll get something out of it somewhere along the line. Now, number one, I want to say to you that there is still a great need. When I say that, you know, one of these days it's going to be too late. And right now you still got time to win some people. But one day, I mean, either they'll cash in or else the second coming will take place. At that point, your chances of winning anybody are going to be over. And their chances of getting saved are going to be almost nil. Now, they've got the opportunity. Of course, they got to seal it with their own blood there, Revelation chapter 12 and 14 there. But they're not going to do it. If they wouldn't get saved by the grace of God and by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ now like a person gets saved, whenever the difficulty arises after we go, and they've got to add to that, they're not going to get saved. And the Bible lets you know that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12 there. And the Bible says they will receive the love of the truth now. The chances are they're not going to do it then. And the Bible says that they might all be damned. I'll read you a couple of verses now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to verse number 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And if somebody will not receive the mercy of God now, and they don't get saved now, the chances are they never will get saved. So you've got a little bit of time here. You've got the golden opportunity, and I'd like for you to push yourself and see what you can do. Go to everybody you know. Twist their arm if you can do that, at least somewhere or another. Try to get them around here because one of these days soon we get raptured out. It's going to be too late. Definitely be too late for them to get saved just simply by believing. But chances are they won't even get saved. Right now, you read the verses back in Psalm 136, and it's toward Israel, where his mercy endureth forever. And the 26 verses back there, his mercy, each one ends with the term, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. But you know what? One of these days, it's going to be all over. One of these days, that mercy is going to be history. One of these days, as far as people getting saved simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to be over. And so you and I realize that one of these days is going to be too late. Now would be the time to give them the gospel, the grace of God. Now would be the time to give them John 3:16, winning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now would be the time to do it before it's too late. And before you and I get raptured out, it'd be time to do it now. Now would be the time to get on the ball and get with it, because one of these days is mercy, and the mercy of God is going to be history as far as those people are concerned. You know, somebody's lost, now would be the time to do it. Now take your Bible and go to Romans chapter number 9. And Romans chapter 9, I want you to look at verse number 15 and verse number 16. Romans 9, verse number 15. Romans 9 and verse number 15. And the Bible says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Now, how can somebody find mercy and compassion? Right now, easy. Right now, all they've got to do is get to the cross and get to Calvary, and it's guaranteed. Not a situation where somebody's one of the elect, somebody is not. You get on the cross of Calvary, and it's a guaranteed thing. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth. Somebody said, I'm going to get saved. I'm okay. Not that. Nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And if somebody needs the mercy of God, they want the mercy of God, they've got to come to the cross of Calvary. If they come to the cross of Calvary, mercy will be theirs. But they've got to get saved this day and time, this age where we get raptured out. If they're going to get saved by the grace of God with nothing, plus or minus nothing, now would be the time to do it. So right now, you want to win them, they'll never have a better time, never have a better opportunity than right now in this age, and you want to do your best, go second mile away, try to win them the Lord Jesus Christ, where it is so simple to get saved that they can't hardly miss, and don't neglect the issue of their salvation. The time of mercy by coming to the cross of Calvary, that time is running out. It'll soon be too late, so now would be the time. Wise for you to try to win them, while all you've got to do is get them to Calvary and get them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's one reason why it's very wise for you to win some souls. Sooner or later, won't be like it is now, but while you've got the opportunity, it'd be the time to do it. All right, now number two. Another reason why you need to do that, because you have the opportunity to save somebody from a life of misery and save them from a devil's hell. Take your Bible now, if you would, and go back to James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, I want you to look at verse number 20. Last verse of the book of James. And in James chapter 5, it says, "Let him that know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You win somebody to Lord Jesus Christ, you might save that person from an early out. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Somebody lives in sin, keep on going, they continue on that way. They are dabbling with a deathly situation. They're dabbling with and probably will see an early out. And you got to do your best, go the second, third mile of the way, try to win them, Lord Jesus Christ. Shall save someone from a life of misery. For example, they go off the deep end. They live the wicked and wild life. There's a price to be paid for it. They'll pay the price. They're going to have a miserable existence, and they're going to pay the price for it. And you want to be the one that saves them from such a miserable, ungodly life. And not only that, from a devil's hell when it's all over. And somebody lives like that, next thing you know, man, Lord, takes them right on out, and they go out early. You don't get those kind of things by. The wages of sin is still death. And somebody, the deeper they go, the earlier they go out, and they're going to be going out, and they go out, and nobody even cares about it. But you got a chance to get it turned around and save that soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. So now would be the time to do it. You've got that opportunity. Take somebody that you know they're heading the wrong way. They're going to pay a heavy duty price, and do your very best to try to get that issue turned around, lest they go out early, and they go out early, and then finally, not just an early death, but they don't find out what the second death is all about when they wind up not only in a devil's hell, but from there, they're right on into the lake of fire after the white throne of judgment. So you can save a soul from death if you will do your very best to try to win some to the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they're going to go out. Now, back in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 19, along those lines, the Bible says there, a verse that says, maybe I want chapter 10, verse 19. Maybe I want another chapter. But I'll tell you what I want. I want the verse that says, when the wicked die, or when the wicked perish, there is shouting. And years ago, whenever John Lennon, who has corrupted innumerable number of people, he went out early. He went out early because that kind of a lifestyle, that's what takes place in general. That will happen readily many times over and over. Carl wrote a tract, and as I recall that gospel tract that Carl wrote, he listed some of those type of people and how they went out very early. More recently, one went out. Back in those days, we were a little younger, a little wilder, and whenever John Lennon bowed out, we just simply shouted down. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. So we just took liberty to shout her down. All he's going to do is corrupt more and more. The longer he's around, he's just going to corrupt him over and over and over. And more all the time. So we shout her down. The guy's gone. Get him out of here. Amen. But that fellow that they idolized that has corrupted even little children, the pedophile that passed on here not too awful long ago, we forgot to shout. So maybe feel like shouting. But nonetheless, one after another, these guys are going to go out to an early death. And so, you know someone like that, then you better do your best to go a second mile away, because you'll save a soul from death. It might be an early death. And it may be a situation that someone like that dies, is going to go straight to hell. Nothing going to change. Never get another chance there. They're done. So you know anybody that's on that wicked side, and they're heading for an early out because they're wicked living, then you need to, before that takes place, go the second mile away. Try your very best, go back again, try again, keep on going back until they finally absolutely shut you down, go back and back and back, and try to win the Lord Jesus Christ and save that soul from death, because if they go out, it's going to be a second death, and they're going to perish. Nobody's going to really care. I mean, it'll be a blessing to society, but don't do it that way. Best thing is get them turned around and win them the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wise, he that winneth souls is wise. Save a soul from death. He that winneth souls is wise. Soon the gospel, the grace of God is going to be, that kind of preaching is going to be over. Now is the time to do it. He that winneth souls is wise also, because you might save yourself from a few stripes. You might even save yourself from many stripes, because you know what to do. You've had a lot dumped in your lap. You don't do anything with it. One day you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody will. You and I, we will. And you stand there having done nothing at all to try to win some souls for Lord Jesus Christ. You just might get a few stripes laid on you. That would be Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. And as well as saving a soul from death, you might save yourself several stripes or many stripes. Not only that, you might, as far as you're concerned, you stand for a judgment seat of Christ, you win someone to Lord Jesus Christ, you're certainly not going to be sorry. You're going to be shouting as God gives you a reward for that. But it's going to be one or two. It's going to be the reward or it will be lost. Now go back to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 3 and look at verse 14, verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, verse number 15. It'll be either or. So again, I'm just putting a few things, sprinkling a few things out here to make you realize that this little verse that we almost passed by is a real important verse. And it's important that you take it seriously and you stretch yourself to try to win some souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise to do it, and definitely need to do it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Notice you're talking about... If any man's work shall abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That is what you want. However, it can go the other way. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. At the judgment seat of Christ, you might save yourself a few stripes. You might save yourself many stripes. You might save yourself a lot of sorrow. You might save yourself from loss. And you get some reward. You can be shouting her down at the judgment seat of Christ as God gives a reward for winning a soul, two, three, four, or more to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll simply be rejoicing to no end with them, and you'll be rejoicing over the reward the Lord gives to you. You know that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, verse number 19, and that's what you want. So when I look at it, I think this is not something to be taken lightly, although it is, although it's so common, everybody just sort of passes it by. There's a major thing in your life that's important, and God's left you here because he's entrusted you with the gospel, and he wants you to win some souls. There are people that need to hear the word of God, and they need to hear it by means of you, by way of you, and this is the outstanding time for us to go after them and try to bring them around as the revival comes our way. Let's try to win some souls. So those are some reasons why it's wise for you to win some souls. But that's not the only reasons why. Those are good reasons. Things are soon to be over. You can save a soul from death. That would be a wonderful thing. And you can save yourself from some stripes and from some sorrow because you have not won anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, you can also, if you'll win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come up with a very special relationship. That is, everybody wants a friend. Everybody wants a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Everybody wants a friend that loveth at all times. Everybody wants a friend that they can count on through thick and thin. Everybody wants a very special friend. And you'll find no better friend than somebody you win to the Lord Jesus Christ. That will give you a special relationship with that one. Now, I say that because I want you to look at Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, you have a situation there where you have Peter and John. They're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There's a lame man who's he's a beggar and been there. He's there all the time when they go. Acts chapter 3. And verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame, from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So a picture of a lost man there, and that the guy, he's helpless, he's lame. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He's begging. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said what he didn't want to hear. If you have any doubt about that, next time somebody tries to panhandle you, just say, "Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee," and give him a gospel tract. And there's a good chance you're liable to get cussed out. I have got cussed out a few times over that. But nonetheless, "Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." Another picture of salvation. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately, there's salvation. His feet and ankle bones received strength. There it is again. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, or the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms, beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement that which had happened unto him. Watch 11. And as the lame man which was healed, what's the next word? Held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. If you need somebody that's going to be a special friend to you, let me ask you to do this. Try your very best to win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will more than likely have a friend for life. You will have one that sticketh closer than a brother. You'll have one that stands by and loves you at all times. You'll have one that probably will think more of you than maybe they even should. They'll think very highly of you, and they will stay around. They will stick around, just like the layman held. Peter and John didn't go anywhere, and that's the way to do it. That's the way for us to build the church. That's the way for you to build some friends. Go in there and win somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will stay with you, and it will become a very special relationship. That's the route that God would want you to do it. I'll put it this way. You have no idea who you might win. Out there, somebody has won a preacher. Somebody is responsible for the missionary's salvation. And you don't have any idea what might take place if you'll witness. You don't know who you might win. You have no idea what could happen. You have no idea how far it could go. You're thinking in terms of one person, and that's good. That's fine. However, you don't know. Hugh Piles won Dr. Ruckman. How'd you like to win somebody like that? Bob Love did nothing but stand on a street corner, pass out tracts when he was in Mobile, and Bruce McDowell comes by, and he wins Bruce McDowell, shoves a Bible in his hand, and said, "Read this to me." And he read it to him, then wound up convincing him that he was lost. He got saved, and those fellows are still like that even now. And you're looking at 1966 to now, you are looking at over 40 years, and they're still tight. And you have no idea what would happen if you'd win someone the Lord Jesus Christ, a special relationship you would have with someone like that. All I have to do is think of Jim Gillespie. I think of Jim Gillespie, who got me interested in getting things right and ultimately wound up getting saved. And I'm thankful to this day and this moment for my brother-in-law, Jim Gillespie. He's the one that I saw had what I needed and had what I didn't see otherwise. I saw it in him very special. You can think yourself, you probably have someone just like that. Meant a lot to you. They're the one that got things turned around for you. They're the one, and you've got a special friend because of that. You'll have a special friend. If you're somebody that needs, looking for a very special relationship, do your very best to win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's John Kovic who stood on the street corner and wins somebody, the Lord, who now is the mother of his daughter and his wife, of course. But you don't know what will take place. I'll just simply say, you win him, Lord Jesus Christ. You will have a friend. You will have somebody that thinks you're special, though you're not. I mean, we're only sinners saved by the grace of God. But you will have a very special relationship that will last for time and even eternity. Out in eternity, they'll still think very highly of you. If you feel like you need a friend, that's the route you need to go. Stretch yourself and try to win him the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have a special relationship. It is wise to win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like much, does it? See, I've heard it over and over. Brother Martin, I know we need to win some souls. Well, how come we're not doing it? If you know all that about it, you know how to do it, how come it's not going on? What's that? You kind of shutting her down? You kind of got discouraged and you sort of quitting on the job? Why aren't you doing the job? How come it's not happening? How come it hasn't happened? How come it's been a while? You need to keep on going, my friend, and look at that verse and take that verse to heart and turn it up a notch or two. And with the opportunity we have of the revival meeting coming in, that easily you can win someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, bring them around, and the Lord's able to deal with them in a special way. We're going to have youth choir singing. We're going to have special music. There will be some excitement about it. I'm already so excited, I just can't even wait. It's a week off. I cannot wait for the revival meeting to start. And looking forward to it. And so as I think of that myself, a special friend can be yours, a special relationship, if you'll win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, as basic as all this is, there may be some things that you have questioned about. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But this one is no question about that. We're absolutely certain that if you will try to win a soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're right on. You're not out of the will of God. You are right there exactly doing, amongst other things, doing the very thing that God wants you to do. Go to John chapter 15 now. And in John chapter 15, you know the context has to do with fruit bearing. That's the context of John chapter 15. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse number 2, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Remember, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He wants you to be quite the soul winner. He don't want you just to win one on a rare occasion or win one all your life. He wants you to keep right on going. And he said, bringeth forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word I have spoken unto you. Abide me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide me, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Then it goes on, and down to verse number 7, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Got to bear some. Number 2, he wants you to bear more. He don't want you to quit because you won one. He wants you to keep on going. Get some more. He don't want you to stop there because you won 2 or 3. He wants you to bear much fruit. Question is, are you doing it? You can do it. Some of y'all, there are times I've been around you, man, you got quite the witness. You're an outstanding witness. You have won a lot of souls in time past, but something has happened. And the Lord wants you to keep a going, and he don't want you to just stop by winning one or even 2 or 3. He wants you to bear much fruit. All right, now look back on your life. What has taken place? Have you won? How many have you won to the Lord? Could it even come close to the category of much fruit? You know to do that, it is wise, because that you're doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do. You're not deviating to the right. You're not deviating to the left. You are doing exactly what you should be doing. One of the major areas of the Christian life, God wants you to bear fruit. And he wants you to keep on going. He don't want you to stop because you have won somebody out there somewhere. He wants you to keep it going. He wants you to witness everywhere you go. You and I should have the same attitude and idea and zeal that Brother Bemis has after his accident. His accident, after the accident, he promised the Lord that he would witness to everybody that comes in his path. He has witnessed to every doctor and every nurse and everybody that's come in his path. But it shouldn't take an accident for you and I to do that. Of course, that's Nathan anyhow. It doesn't matter where Nathan's at. I mean, he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where he's at. He's that. That's not, but he's promised the Lord. He's not going to run slack that way. Maybe you and I need to promise the Lord we'll do that. And though we're not injured, we ought to do that anyhow. That would be natural for you and I as it is for Nathan Bemis. And whereas everybody that comes across your path, at least the gospel tract, at least a little bit of a witness, at least something for them, give them a chance for them to get saved. And one day, and things are cast in, it won't be just, you know, one soul here, but it'll be more, and it'll be much when it's all told and tallied together. You can get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why it's wise to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. And these are just, you know, a few thoughts for you, just to sort of stir the cup a little bit. Like the fellow said one time, I went down and talked to his parents, and she was very concerned about her son. Said, well, witness to my son. I said, I have witnessed to him. And she said, well, stir the cup. And I said, I've done my best to stir the cup. She said, well, stir the cup some more. That's how she felt about it. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Stir the cup some more. Let's get out there and try to give it a good shot here. Try to win some to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely certain and sure that's the route the Lord wants you to go. John chapter 15 lets you know that. Now think of this. What you get out in the world, it comes and goes. But here the Bible says your fruit remains. In John chapter 15, the Bible says your fruit remains. So you win some of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're eternally saved, and nothing changed. Not like they get saved, and they're lost. And they, you know, they get saved, and then all of a sudden, they're lost again. It's not that at all. Your fruit will remain. That'll never change. You win in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will never change. And so as basic as the verse is, there are some thoughts that you and I need to, perhaps thought-provoking for you and I, that we need to take it to heart. And maybe we have let it slide by. Maybe we haven't taken it to heart like we should. And therefore, it's becoming us four no more. And we enjoy each other. We like each other. And the fellowship's great. And that's wonderful. But there are a lot of people out there that they need what we've got. And they need a Savior that we've got. And you're the one that the Lord entrusted you with the gospel. You need to get it out. Now, not only that, I want you to go clear the other end of the line, and I want you to see afar off. Some people, they cannot see afar off. Take your Bible, if you would, and look at 2 Peter, chapter number 1. And 2 Peter, chapter 1, look at verse number 9. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Cannot see afar off. God wants you and I to be far-sighted. He wants you to not, you know, worry about right now. He wants you and I to take a look yonder. He wants you and I to look out ahead. He wants you and I to got a burden for lost people. And so he kind of opens the picture up a little bit for you at times, and he shows you what's like. He wants you to see afar off. Now back to Isaiah chapter 66, and we'll take a look afar off. Last verse of the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, verse number 24, last verse of the book of Isaiah. Someday you're going to be out there, and someday you're going to be looking at a sea of faces. You're going to be looking at a situation where the Bible describes the Lord is busting hell wide open and letting people look right on in, and you're going to see it far off. And it says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall the fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. One day the Lord's going to bust her open and let folks take a look. You may not want to look, but you're going to have a sight to behold. You're going to look at a sea of faces out there, and God forbid that you should see a face. that you had an opportunity to witness to. In this sea of faces out there, wouldn't that be a horrible thing if all of a sudden you see somebody that you had an opportunity to witness to, you did not witness to them, and they've died and gone to hell. And you look at them, you can imagine how your heart would sink. I mean, it'd go all the way to the bottom. When you see actually the price that they pay and the penalty they pay, and that thing could have been alleviated, and you were the one that probably could have turned it around, did not do it. And you look upon that face and see that sea of face, and there's that one that you know you could have won the Lord Jesus Christ, and you did not do it. You just didn't care. You were lazy. You just didn't thought, what are they going to think about me? All the stuff that does not matter. And they died and went to hell. And you see that face, and I'm telling you what, your heart will sink like it's never sunk before. He that winneth souls is wise, lest you should see a situation like that. And I'll describe something that probably is one of the lowest times I've ever known in 76 years. Years ago, I used to preach a lot around youth camps a lot. Jack Cusick used to have me preach at Youth Haven quite often. One year I was preaching a youth camp all week. Brother McGraw preached the week before. I came up and preached the next week. John started back to Middletown, got halfway back, stopped, and turned around and came back to the camp for my sake. That time hyperdispensationalism had started through the camp. John was not afraid to tangle with him. And John could handle him. And John thought, if I come in there to preach, they start on me, that'll be a horrible week for me. So he came back for my sake, and he'd tangle with him, and I could study the Word of God and preach. And tangle he did. There are times you could hear all over that camp, I mean, just contending back and forth and forth and back. And John was there for my sake. And one night, I think it was on a Saturday night, I was getting ready to do some preaching, or I just got done some preaching. We were sitting on the back porch of the farmhouse. And John says to me, "Wonder what they're doing." And I looked out and I saw Jack and about 8 or 10 of the young people coming through the pool, holding hands like that. And all of a sudden, they grabbed a little fella off the bottom, gave him to put him in Jack's arms, and Jack came running out of that pool weeping. We ran out to him, and Jack said, "I thought it's your little boy. It's your boy." And my pattern was, everywhere we went, Shirley was ultra careful. You watch him, you do this, you do that. Make sure of this, make sure of that. That's a mother. I'd get up to the camp, kids would come running up to the car there, "Hey Jim, come on, let's go." And Jim, Bruce, those kids, they'd a week long, have a good time at camp, Saturday night. And I thought I heard Jack say, "It's your boy." I actually grabbed him. I grabbed the child, thinking it was Jim, before I realized it wasn't him. But I can't tell you how I was condemned. I mean, instantly I'm condemned, because my pattern was the opposite of Shirley's. And I'd let him go, have a good time all week, play, run, jump, do whatever, have a good time with him. I mean, I don't know I ever had a time when my heart went down to my feet like that. That's horrible. And I know where my son was. And I got looking for my son. I got looking around, and I mean, it's like you can't hardly even get over it. Even though when you finally realize, you can't hardly get over it. And Jim was in the living room playing with the cats. Kittens. Couldn't believe it. And that night I said, "Jim, Are you sure you're saved? Said, Dad, don't you remember when you led me to the Lord? You know? But I'm telling you what. I know the feeling. What a horrible feeling. And what if there be somebody in this picture right here? Somebody you see afar off, and they're in devil's hell, and they're going to be there forever. And somebody you could have won the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that'd be like? Can you imagine how your heart would just sink? And there's no turning around. Thank God mine turned around. I mean, I feel sorry for the family, the little boy's family, and I think ultimately the thing almost closed the camp down. I mean, some way or another, the thing just kind of fell apart after that, seemed like. But can you imagine? There's no turnaround here. I mean, you see that sea of faces, and there's that one. But you had the opportunity, the golden opportunity to win. And you're too lazy. You didn't care. Who cares? Oh, we hear this stuff all the time. Oh, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Oh, come on. You're boring me to death. I mean, I need something more than that. I've been down the road in peace. I need the heavy duty stuff. No, you need this stuff here. Or you're liable to be like me 10 times over. You take a look at somebody in that sea of lost people. And don't tell me your heart won't absolutely go to the bottom. You'll be condemned, and you'll be condemning yourself forevermore. And so I say to you, my friend, I just put out some thoughts for you, because the verse is so well known that you almost pass it by. I put out some thoughts for you just to make you realize he that winneth souls is wise. It's a wise thing to do. Unless you blow it, may God write it on your heart. May you consider that souls are dying. They're dying lost. And you stand between them and a lake of fire. Souls are crying, as the song goes. Souls are dying, souls are crying. It doesn't faze you anymore. You've seen people pass on. You're a big boy, you're a big girl. Doesn't bother you no more. That's kind of the plight that sometimes Christians get in. So somebody goes to hell, they should have got saved. Yeah, how about you trying to win them? Those souls that are dying and those souls that are crying for a drop of water to cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. That's never going to change for them. They'll be crying, crying, and crying, and crying. Pour a drop of water to cool my tongue, and no water. Not even a drop of water. And so I think you ought to take to heart that little verse that you learned a long time ago. And I think with the revival coming up, that we ought to give it a good go. I think we ought to begin to get something turned around. Comes to the Bible, we're doing probably decent. Prayer lives of a lot of these people are outstanding, and probably a lot of them at least average. But for some reason or other, this area here, probably where we are under average. We just kind of enjoy each other, enjoy church, singing. Young people singing. We enjoy it. Man, we'll shower down. And we let lost souls keep right on going to hell. Or we just enjoy each other. They're going to be out there. They're helpless. And you're going to be helpless to do anything for them. Once they pass on, go to hell, you won't be able to do one thing in the world for them. Now's the time. If you're ever going to be the friend, now's the time to do it. So I said it's a wise thing to do, and God said it's wise. It is wise. It's wise because of this mercy that endures forever. Gonna be changing around here in a little while. Soon to be over. Not just somebody getting the foot of Calvary and then get saved. Find mercy, things are gonna change. I say it's wise because the soul sinner that you'll die. And you want to save a soul from death and an early death and a second death and hide a multitude of sins is wise for you. Win them to Jesus Christ. There are a lot of them out there right now. They're heading for the same thing that those wild and woolly and wicked rock and roll singers have had take place. And you got people out there heading the same route right now. Wise to win them. It's wise because you might save yourself if you strike the judgment seat of Christ for not doing anything God wants you to do. And the sorrow of watching others rejoice with those they've won, be rewarded, and you get none. Be wise to win them. You need some kind of special relationship, that's where it's at. They think you are way better than what you are. They'll stick with you forevermore. That's the kind of relationships you want, but you got to win them, Lord Jesus Christ, to have that special relationship. It's wise because we know Jesus Christ himself said, I want you to bear some fruit. I'm going to purge things out so that you bear more fruit. I want this thing to wrap up, you bearing much fruit. And I don't know where you're at in the scale there, or if there's anything at all, but I think I'd get her started quick. It's wise. It's wise because in this sea of faces that's described there in Isaiah chapter 66 in that last verse, you don't want to see some face that you could have won to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you were careless and you did not do it. It's wise because souls are dying, souls are crying, and they go to hell. They can cry forever and ever. And you cannot do anything for them, but you can now. The wise and best thing you'll do is take heed to the verse there. Give it all you got. Go after them. Find somebody to witness to. Find somebody you can coax on. Bring them around to the meeting. You might be amazed at what God would do. I'll put it this way. It's scriptural. It's spiritual. It's sensible, and it's simple enough to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you pass by what God's told you to do. Be wise for you, my friend, to try your very best and stretch yourself to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you be like somebody that said, Brother Martin, I want some new, you're like the Athenians. I don't want the old thing here. I've heard that many times. I want to hear some new thing. Tell me something new. No, let's start with that which is old and you know to be right. And let's get that going. And then we'll go on beyond that. This is where we need to start. This is where this church needs to start. And this is probably where many in this building need to start. And we need to start tonight. So as when Brother McGee comes to town, I'm sure in the meeting there will be some night the lost people will be dealt with, and we need to bring them here and get them here. It can be an outstanding meeting. It can be the start of a great revival for you, my friend. But you've got to win some souls. Otherwise, we'll look back and say, that was good. Man, that was a blessing. Man, that was great preaching. Better yet, to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow your heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful now for the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, lest our hearts drop one day when people die lost that we could have won. Father, squeeze on hearts tonight. And Lord, we've come far too complacent around here. And Lord, we love the Bible. That's all right. But God, for some reason or other, we're not pushing ourselves and trying to win the lost. Lord, I pray that at least one of these thoughts would set very deeply in every heart tonight. May it cause them to pick up the banner and fly it high. May it cause them to witness maybe more than they ever have, or at least witness again, not shut her down, and not quit because they haven't won none. Help them to keep it going until they do. Father, give them opportunities to witness. God, just ask for your blessing now upon what's been said. May it have an effect on our church, our meeting, and our lives, now and forevermore. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.